In association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. 2008 is clearly a watershed year for comics. The mainstream pop culture attention, fostered by a summer of successful movie adaptations, culminated in this year's San Diego Comic-Con. Video, print, and audio media showed up, not only covering this year's slate of adaptations, but a lot of focus was given to the March release of the Watchmen film. And that seemingly has resulted in direct interest and, more importantly, sales of the Watchmen graphic novel itself. So, everyone is wondering, what happens next? Robert Kirkman has an answer. Yesterday, Kirkman released a video explaining his departure from Marvel Comics to become a partner at Image to focus on his creator-owned projects. But beyond that, the video was a call to arms for today's writers and artists to create original material and for the two big publishers, DC and Marvel, to focus more on the teen reading market and let imprints like Image and Dark Horse cater to the adult market. Before our conversation begins, if you haven't seen or heard Kirkman's statement, here's the audio from it. It runs 12 minutes and 30 seconds, so if you want to fast forward directly to our talk, there's the time, starting now.
Hi, Robert Kirkman here. Just got back from Comic-Con. It was announced before Comic-Con that I have left Marvel Comics to come to Image Comics. They've made me a partner, and I'm going to be focusing on creator-owned work exclusively. And I just wanted to talk to you guys about that. The question that I was asked the most is, why did I do it? Why did I leave Marvel Comics to do creator-owned work exclusively? And aside from a thousand other reasons, the main reason, the reason I want to talk about now, is I did it to save the entire comic book industry. And I know that sounds a little arrogant, a little goofball, and that's fine. But this is very serious, and I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. Right now the comic book industry is backwards. No one watches a movie and decides that they want to do movies and aspires to only ever do Pulp Fiction 2. And no one reads a novel and decides they want to do novels and only ever aspires to do Moby Dick 2. And in the industry, the way it works right now is a lot of times guys come into creator-owned comics, like me, like Bendis, like Jonathan Hickman, like Matt Fraction, and a thousand other artists, but I'm a writer, and so I'm using writer references. We come into the comic book industry doing creator-owned work, and we eventually graduate up to Marvel, and then that's the end of the story. And you work your way up to the Marvel pecking order. And sometimes you get to the top, and sometimes you get to the middle, and sometimes you languish at the bottom. But, you make a good living, and it's excellent, excellent work. It's fun to do. At the end of the day, I had a great time at Marvel. Joe Quesada, super brilliant man. They do things that you guys don't even know about. They think 12 steps ahead. I was in awe to witness the inner workings of Marvel Comics. And they produce some really, really good books. But at the end of the day, when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. And when you're not hot, they don't want you, and your career is over. And that's bad for creators. And, the thing you need to do is eventually go off and to create your own stuff. It's been proven that, when you do create your own work, your life in the industry is a little longer, as long as it's good. And there are examples of people making money doing comics, Mike Mignola and Frank Miller and all the Image guys. And me, I've been doing the industry a bit of a disservice. The general thought has usually been that I do Marvel work to supplement my Image work. And that's true to a certain extent, but not in a financial way. Marvel has always accounted for a very small part of my income. And my books, Walking Dead cracks into the top 100 every now and then. But, they sell very little, but they make a lot of money because they're not paying for a corporation. And so I've got artists that are making a living just doing my books, and I make a swell living on trade paperbacks and single issues and everything that I do. And so I'm here to say that it can be done and that it should be done. The way that the comic industry should work is that you start out in low-selling, creator-owned stuff that you do on your own, or low-selling books that you eventually graduate up to Marvel from doing, or DC. And you work your way up through that. And when you hit a certain level where you can sell a book on your own, you leave. And that's the way it should be. Everyone would be happier doing their own work, I think. Maybe not. But the problem is, and this is where it gets into saving the industry, I read a ton of Marvel and DC books, and I love them because they are fantastic, and I am the target audience. I'm going to be 30 years old this year, you know, and I'm just going to get older and older and older. The books are tailor-made for me. They're the characters that I grew up loving, but they're doing things that are more mature and stories that are more complex, and they're all excellent, excellent comics. But the fanboy becomes the fan man, becomes the old man, becomes the dead man, and we are all going to take the comic book industry with us. There are not enough new people coming in the industry as it is, learning, you know, comics and loving comics. And we're doing great right now. The movies are great. Sales are up, trade paperbacks are killing, bookstores, you know, graphic novels are the only growth department, and it's just, you know, it's a good time for comics, and people aren't really talking about the state that we're in as much as they used to, and, you know, it's not time to rest on our laurels. It's not time to go, well, we're on an upswing, that's great. There's more that can be done, and I'm getting to that. You know, if all those people that are making, that are getting the kind of freedom at Marvel and DC to do whatever they want and make the stories as complex and entertaining as they are, we're doing that on creator-owned books. The audience that we have now would be able to read those books and enjoy those books, but they would be on original characters. And that opens up a whole new door to cinema and, you know, adapting movies to, you know, it's a whole new revenue stream for creators, and so It is more lucrative than working at Marvel and DC, unless you're the top two people at both companies. And there's only four of those guys. I know that people are watching this, and, you know, Marvel and DC are saying, well, what the hell is wrong with this guy? You know, this is the worst thing in the world. He should not be telling these people to leave Marvel and DC. But I'm telling you right now, in the long run, it would help Marvel and DC. Marvel and DC lock people down to contracts because they know that people sell books and people do good work on the books. And while they're locked under contract, there's negotiations every time a contract comes up to keep them. And these creators sometimes rise up the ranks in the company, getting a raise every time their contract is up, or they bounce back and forth and play the companies off each other and make more and more and more money to work on the corporate characters. And that's fine, but, you know, you're eventually going to bid yourself out of existence. You know, maybe you guys are paying your creators too much. Maybe you're treating them too well. And if you were hiring young guys and having young guys do awesome work, because, you know, when you start out at Marvel and DC, I think that's when you do some of your best work, in most cases. And if Marvel and DC had more control over the stories, because they were younger guys that didn't have to be given so much freedom or else they would leave, they could make the stories tailor-made for younger audiences. Because our audience, the 30-year-olds, are reading all the top guys create their own stuff, because we follow the creators. But younger kids don't care about the creators. I know that there was a time when I was young and reading comics that I didn't even know what that credit box was. And as long as you're producing good stories, you will appeal to kids. And appealing to kids is what Marvel and DC should be doing. Dark Horse and Image should be appealing to the fan men. And I hate that term. But, you know, if you're 20 to 40 to 50 to 60 and you're still reading comics, and there's nothing wrong with that. I still read comics. Comics are better than television and movies, and the more people that knew that, the better off they'd be. But, you know, we can't put a lockdown on Marvel and DC characters because those characters belong to the world. And those characters help children learn to read and help children enjoy reading. And, you know, I know that there are adventures lines and stuff like that, but those talk down to kids to a certain extent. And that's not what kids want. Kids want to feel like they're reading something that's, you know, not necessarily meant for them, but appropriate for them. And that's what we need to do, and that saves the comic book industry. And that makes Marvel and DC's work easier because they're appealing to a larger audience. They're not having to give these ridiculous contracts to these high-paid writers and artists. And the writers and artists are happier because they're doing what they want. And creator-owned work is hard. Don't get me wrong. And not everyone can do creator-owned work. This isn't, there's going to be some spillover, and there's going to be some guys that just want to write and draw Spider-Man and Batman. But the more people that do creator-owned work, the easier it'll be to sell creator-owned work. I'm one guy, I'm out there, I'm doing it, I'm making a living. I'm making a good living. And if there were two of me, we'd be selling better. And if there were six of me, we'd be selling huge. And if there were 20 of me, fans would come and it can happen. And, creator-owned books would be selling better, and Marvel and DC books would be selling better, and Marvel and DC would still be number one and two, and everyone would be happier. And I think that this is a discussion. This isn't the final say, and I'm sure that I've said things that are completely wrong, but I think that, everyone should consider thinking about this and talking about this. And we shouldn't be so afraid to have an open discussion about such things. I propose a conference. The heads of the companies should get together on a cruise, who knows, whatever, and talk about this kind of stuff. There's no way that through cooperation and communication, we can't do huge, huge things that we never thought we could do. And we can still compete, and competition is excellent, and we should still compete, but there is no reason that we can't work together to make comic books what they once were, what they can be, and what they were meant to be. I love comics. I love everything about them. I love everyone who reads them, and I love everyone who does them. And it's a special part of my life. And I just want to make sure that my great-great-grandchildren can still read the same medium that I grew up loving. And I don't care if they're reading it on a television screen in their wrist, as long as they're still reading it. Comics will survive. And I think that we'll do whatever it takes to make it happen. And so I hope that this didn't infuriate too many people. I hope that you see the intent. I think that's enough for me. I'll sign off. But thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, so that's the full statement from Robert Kirkman, and I appreciate him allowing me to play this at the beginning to frame our discussion, which begins now. Well, first, you tell me the progression of events. Did this thought to make this video come to you after you were made a partner, or can you give me the series of events that kind of led to where we're at right now with you as far as this statement?
Well, the first thing I should probably say is that I don't necessarily... this statement isn't a statement of Image Comics. This is a statement of Robert Kirkman, who is a partner at Image Comics, but, and part of it is, I'm a partner, obviously... I want people to come and do stuff at Image Comics, but, if people are happier other places, that's part of the mission statement. People do what they're happiest doing. But, I got the idea, I guess, when I was at San Diego. I was going to do it as a text piece, and I had so much stuff coming out of San Diego that I had to do, I didn't have time. And so I was like, yeah, I am never going to sit down and write this this essay, I might as well just videotape it and see how that turns out. And so that's what I did.
What was the reaction from your image partners when they saw the video?
So far, I've only heard from a few people. Larson's fine with it, and Todd saw it and made a couple funny comments that I'm not going to repeat because they are slightly demeaning. But just about my appearance. Todd likes to, I have a gigantic head. And so, when I was a child, I would play T-ball. And I was the only kid playing T-ball that had to run to the Little League field to borrow a helmet every time he had to bat. Because they didn't have helmets big enough for me on the Little League team. That is not even an exaggeration. That actually happened word for word. Like every time I would have to bat, I would go and get one, and then they'd let me keep it for a little bit, and then after the game, I'd have to bring it back. So yeah, screw Todd. But nobody talked me off the ledge, so it went up. Okay. I mean, I did. I am a partner at Image Comics, and I'm not going to say that 50 times during this interview. I already repeated it twice, and that's it. I'm done.
Okay.
But. I got to let those guys know. I mean, because I am part of the company. And so I did give them a heads up before it went live. And,
One of the things that you lay out is your concern of people going into the business for the wrong reason, as far as going in and remaking, existing stories and just bringing their take on an existing story. How is this different? Now, you give the examples of novels and film. But how is this different from, it's funny, I was watching Sidney Pollack on Turner Classic Movies, and they mentioned that, he began directing television before getting into features. And I think, that's kind of the closest comparison I can think of from a mainstream standpoint. What would you say to that comparison?
I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm not saying nobody should ever aspire to write Marvel, and DC characters. Nobody should. Yeah, everyone, if you want to write Spider-Man, write Spider-Man. I really, really, really wanted to write Spider-Man for a really long time. And, I still do. I still love Spider-Man. I would love to write it. I'm just saying, that shouldn't be the pinnacle of a comic book career.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. Everyone starts out, Spielberg started out directing television episodes.
Absolutely.
If all he ever directed were television episodes, where would the world be?
Absolutely.
And novelists start out doing short stories in magazines. There's always a starting point.
Sure.
And I that's why I'm hoping that, Marvel and DC don't go, they don't get too pissed off at me, because I'm trying to make the statement as clear as possible. And, if they get pissed off, they get pissed off. It's not a big deal. I'm prepared for that, or I wouldn't have done it. But, think about what I'm saying. I think people should do Marvel and DC books. I just don't think that they should die doing Marvel and DC books. And to be honest, everyone that only ever does Marvel and DC books eventually get ushered out of this industry. I didn't get to say it in the video because that wasn't scripted. That was just me talking. There's no retirement plan in comics.
Clearly.
You write your Marvel and DC books, and you are hot until you are not, and then you're like, oh, thanks. Thanks for your time. Bye. And if you're not saving money the whole time you're doing that, you're kind of screwed, because then you get to a point where you can't sell any comic because you've kind of ridden your career down, and you can't go off and do creator-owned books because, you've kind of allowed yourself to not be, you allowed your popularity to die down. And, it's a tough damn business. And if you do creator-owned comics, that is your retirement plan. If you do good creator-owned comics and they're fairly successful, do you think Mike Mignola is not going to be making money off of Hellboy when he's 65 years old? That's something to think about.
It's still a lottery, though, Robert. I mean, you're one of the fortunate few. I mean, it's no different from any other creative field where, 90% of it is crap and 10% of it is great stuff. And I just can't help but think of so many other people that have tried to do creator-owned books and just haven't connected the way the Mignolas, the Frank Millers, and now yourself. I mean, and there's a longer list than that, but, let's just leave those. But you know what I'm saying? So, by all means.
It's a lottery to a certain extent, but you have to include Jim Valentino, Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, Dale Keown. I mean, Eric Larson, Mark Silvestri. You have to include those guys. And when you start including everyone, like Jeff Smith, Dave Sim, and I understand that it is still a lottery. Yeah, exactly. And not everyone has creator-owned properties that are commercial, And not everyone has creator-owned properties that they necessarily want to do. Some guys only ever aspire to do that kind of stuff, and that is totally fine.
That's true.
But I just don't want to see people who get to a level where they can do creator-owned stuff and they can sell creator-owned stuff, like, worry that they can't do it, okay?
Okay.
And the other thing that I want to say is that, like, Invincible, you know, only sells 15,000 copies.
Okay.
But it actually does make pretty good money. And The Walking Dead only sells 25,000 copies. And because there's not this, you know, huge corporation that it's paying for, along with everything else, that makes a pretty good chunk of change. And so it's not a matter of you have to sell 60,000, 80,000, 70,000. If you just sell, if you write and draw a book that you just sell 20,000 on, you make a damn good living.
Well, that's good, and I think you're right, and I think there are comparisons to be made in, as far as novelists as well. But the more important part that you're making, too, is that there isn't the overhead of the corporation to be concerned about.
Yeah, and another thing, like, and I hate to interrupt you, not everyone can do it, but to a certain extent, like, a lot of people have tried, and one of the key things that people don't do is they don't stop doing corporate work when they give it a shot. You can't put your feet on both sides of the fence. You have to take that plunge. And the reason you do is because if I'm doing Invincible and I'm writing Spider-Man and I'm giving fans a choice to try my untested property that they don't know that could be awesome, or to try my Spider-Man book that's a property that they know, they're going to choose the Spider-Man book every single time. And so you cannot make a comparison, to a certain extent, to people who are putting their feet on both sides of the fence. It's the people that take the plunge. The early Image guys, Frank Miller, you know, Mike Mignola, those guys that dive into it, that build their name up to a certain extent so there's not that much of a risk, you know, because you have to get to a certain point. You have to get to the point where your Marvel and DC books seem to be selling because of you. If you come onto a book and it goes up, you know, you have to watch for that kind of stuff because there are people that, like, are at Marvel and DC that are friends with people, that are friends with editors, that do fantastic work, but, you know, like, they're just kind of mid-level guys, and maybe it's not them moving the needle as much as it's the character. You know, you just have to know that you could do creator-owned stuff. And there's a list, like, a huge list of guys working in comics now that I know could come and do creator-owned stuff and make a ton of cash. And, you know, and be happier. You know, it's not just about the money, you know. It's creative fulfillment. And it's knowing that, like, you're blazing your own trail and you're contributing to the industry in the same way that Stan and Jack and you know, Steve Ditko and you know, everyone, you know. That you know, they created that stuff, you know. It's all about creating.
I agree. I also see, though, that there are contemporaries of yours that are straddling both. And
I think they're not doing that well.
No? I mean, I'm asking...
Well, and there's others that are doing well.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Because it seems like, you know, they're reaping the benefits of, you know, getting their name out there with the main... with, you know, and again, we'll use mainstream for the purposes of, you know, with between comic book fans, mainstream superhero stuff. They get their name out there, and then maybe people reach back and see some of this creator-owned stuff. Certainly, Bendis has, I think, found that, you know, audience for his Image stuff. And I think that audience has certainly increased after Ultimate Spider-Man. And sometimes it takes being on an Ultimate Spider-Man to get, you know, your name and face above the din of all these other writers and artists.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been on both sides of the fence since I started at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Okay.
You know, I'm just saying, like, I think if you take the plunge, your books will do better. And you know, and the mission statement wasn't necessarily just about guys coming and doing creator-owned books and being happier. Because, I mean, you know, like I say, there are guys that enjoy doing Marvel and DC books, and I enjoy doing Marvel and DC books, and if they want to continue doing so, that's their thing. I'm just trying to, like, shine a light on, like, extra options. And the other thing about the you know, the statement that I made is, you know, changing the game at Marvel and DC and restructuring their entire line to appeal to children more. You know, and that's something that I think is very important. And, you know, if there were a mass exodus, which I'm not calling for a mass exodus, I'm just saying if the changing winds in the comics industry leads to a mass exodus and they have to scramble to think of a new way to do comics and that results in focusing on a younger audience that they're not necessarily doing right now. You know, they're milking the audience they have. And, you know, they're producing excellent comics that I read and enjoy. But I shouldn't necessarily be the target audience of all Marvel comics, you know? Well, I mean, it's not like DC and Marvel are becoming Vertigo. You know, it's not like they're all completely mature. But,
no.
You know, continuity is a problem. It's hard for kids to jump in, you know? And there are really, like, dark stuff going on. And there's a lot of things in there that kids, you know, don't necessarily... You know, it's not necessarily for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I love comics. I would read Amazing Spider-Man if it skewed younger. And I think the Brand New Day stuff, to a certain extent, does skew a little younger. And that's fine. You know, like, I would read it either way because I am, like, a hardcore comic book fan. I'm mm-hmm. not saying, like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be reading Marvel and DC books. I need to stop. You know, I'm too old. I'm just saying, like, I would be there anyway. Don't cater to me. We need to be looking to the future a lot more than we are now. And the future, you know, is digital, and Marvel's doing that, and I'm sure DC's got a huge program that they're going to roll out eventually. But aside from digital stuff, we need to work on the content as well. And that's all I'm saying.
Where does distribution fit into these proposals? Because if DC and Marvel did what you're saying, mm-hmm. You know, think about it, 95% of the readership that you're looking at, the younger readership, how are they going to know about it? And, you know, they still have to, you know, get into comics, and there's still that competition from all the other outside entertainment as well. So I see what you're saying to a degree about involving younger readers and not just giving them specific... If you give them books specifically geared toward the younger audience, I understand what you're saying about them feeling closed off and that they're not really part of the big game, like we were when we were little kids.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was writing down or drawing down to us. We were just looking at the general product, which was geared at a younger audience.
Yeah.
You know, but who is to say that they should not also benefit from the adult audience as well?
No, sure.
And change their editorial thing with the sole concern of we got to get these young readers, because there is competition out there now for their eyeballs that wasn't there when we were, you know, 13 years old. It's a changing media landscape and what is being directed at kids outside of comics too.
No, well, yeah, I mean, but we were always competing against hopscotch and, you know, t-ball and
now
competing against video games and everything now.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to reading about Spider-Man, now you can be Spider-Man and it's only $50 as opposed to that, you know, $3.99 comic book that you've got to wait till next month to see what happens next as opposed to fighting to the next level.
Well, I don't have all the answers.
No, I'm just asking that.
But, I mean, you know, that's definitely something to discuss, and that is definitely a problem. But, I mean, you know, you tackle one problem at a time, you know? And
okay.
I do think that the content is a main problem. And I just think that the main core superhero universes should be geared more towards younger readers. And I think that both companies would benefit from that immensely. And if there's a Max line that's not necessarily the Max line that has more, you know, that's maybe not even necessarily a different universe. Like even, you know, back in the day when I was reading comics, you know, Marvel had their graphic novel line, which was in the Marvel universe,
but yes.
Skewed a little more mature. You know, I mean, they've always had that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to necessarily be a different imprint. You know, I just don't think Adventures lines are enough.
Okay.
You know? I don't think that, you know, the... whatever the Disney thing is called, or the Disney, the DC.
Johnny DC.
Johnny yeah. DC, that's what I'm looking for.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know. It's,
well, and it depends. It depends on the creator. I think some of them are very approachable stories, and I'll say that for Marvel Adventures as well. And I like some of the Johnny DC product. I see what you're saying, though, and
no, I
agree with
great.
You.
No, I mean, that's great. I just think that kids see those logos, and they go, that's for kids.
Right.
You know, I want to read Spider-Man. Kids are smart enough to know that the Marvel Adventure Spider-Man isn't really the real Spider-Man, you know? And
sure.
I'm not saying that to insult those books. I'm sure those books are excellent. I'm just saying, like, kids know that that's a side Spider-Man thing. You know, they're not reading the real Spider-Man.
No,
and I'm not even necessarily talking about 11-year-olds. You know, we're not really reaching 16- and 17-year-olds at this point. So...
Well, and again, is it a distribution problem?
It's definitely a distribution problem, but I mean, we're in Barnes & Noble and Borders.
True.
You know, and then, you know, we've got one of the Barnes & Noble test stores here locally in Kentucky, and it has a nice really wide spinner rack, and they're there. And I mean, you know, distribution's a problem, awareness is a problem, you know, like kids, you know, might not know which comics are which, and those are all things that Marvel and DC are tackling. But you know, I don't see why we can't be looking at the content as well.
And also, where do you, I understand what you're saying, you know, if you create more creator-owned work, your people will come. But again, now we also have to look at the stores that are willing, the comic book stores, that are willing to kind of get beyond DC and Marvel. I'm lucky. I'm in Chicago, and we have plenty of great stores that support independent work and things beyond the mainstream of DC and Marvel. But I do know of other stores that literally only, you know, do Marvel, for example, or do DC and Marvel, but don't do the whole line of DC and Marvel, and aren't interested in Image and Dark Horse. And
that's Image and Dark Horse's job on a publisher level to work on that, and that's something that we're definitely working on. I don't know how Dark Horse is looking at that, but, you know, I mean, there are retailers to reach out to. You know, we can expand our retailer base. It's simple enough to do. It's just something that needs to be focused on. I think that Joe Keating, marketing director at Image Comics, is taking great strides in advancing retailer relations.
Okay.
He started to make like personal phone calls to retailers, and you know, just like guys that aren't really ordering a lot of Image books, and just, you know, raising awareness. And as we improve our line, which, you know, we are planning on doing, and you know, as we're offering, you know, better books, and we're offering awesome books now, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there are, you know, steps that we're doing, but that's a publisher problem. That's, you know, and that's something that creators definitely need to look at. But you know, the retailers that are ordering independent comics now are you know, sustainable enough. You know, War Heroes is doing really well. Kick-Ass is doing really well. Criminal is doing really well. I mean, the books are doing okay as it is. And as time goes on, you know, we'll open retailers' eyes to more stuff. So,
well, you know. I think we're at an interesting point, and I know that's one of the reasons why you've brought up this discussion as far as where the comics industry is and where the mainstream fans outside of comic book fans are now really paying attention. I mean, obviously, the attention we're getting from Hollywood and television is higher than it's ever been. And I think it's an interesting time to ask some of these questions. But what do you do when this mainstream has a preconceived notion of when they think of comic books, they are inclined to think of superheroes and DC and Marvel, and it is because of where those two companies are in the market. But it's, I almost wonder if when you ask these two companies to change what they're known for, and also the product, I mean, certainly with the success of Dark Knight right now, is it any different than popcorn action-adventure movies? Not just superhero movies, but just action-adventure movies dominating Hollywood. And there are cries from creators saying, I miss the independent films. We need the independent films. We are neglecting them. What do you do, though, when the biggest grossing films are the action-adventure films? By the same token, right now, the biggest grossing comic books are the superhero comic books. You know, I understand you're saying you can make a difference with less of an impact, with, you know, with your creator-owned book. But again, you're also calling for DC and Marvel to kind of, you know, redirect their marketing strategies. And, you know, right now it ain't broke, so why fix it? I guess right now it ain't.
I would disagree that it's not broke. I mean,
okay,
it's, we're not selling near the numbers that we've sold historically.
That's
true. Things are getting up, but, you know, aside from top mid-level books are you know, like a successful mid-level book is like 40,000-50,000. You know, a successful mid-level book, you know,
back in the 70s. Well, even back in the 70s, yeah.
I mean, what the hell? They were higher than what our highest books are now.
That's true.
You know, we should not be as happy as we are. And okay. I never said that we should do less superhero books. And I never said that Marvel and DC should not do superhero books.
Okay.
You know, Marvel and DC do what they do, and I love superhero comics. Anybody that reads Invincible should know that. I don't think anyone should stop doing superhero comics. You know, and the stigma of, like, reading comics, like, that's I think that's dying down.
I agree with you.
I think that the movies are taking care of that for us. And every time there's a history of violence or Road to Perdition or you
Ghost
know,
World.
Any of the number, yeah, Ghost World. I mean, we could sit here all day rattling off those movies.
Sure.
And, like, not everyone knows that those are comic book movies, but you know, awareness is, you know, spreading. And, you know, as time goes on, I think comics are a lot more respected, you know. I mean, the Spike Awards, you know, like, that's comics, and that's on, like, mainstream, like, cable network television.
Absolutely.
Or cable television. That's not cable network.
Well, it's basic, yeah, it's basic cable, though, and I think you're
sure.
Right. It's the highest cable audience.
Sure, and then, I mean, you got Who Wants to Be a Superhero on Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, there's different stuff out there that's, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily respecting comics, to be honest, but
what?
Anyway.
I kind of feel the same way. No offense, Stan, but I feel the same way, man.
Okay. I mean, no, I mean, it's an awesome show, but anyway, you know, I mean, there are a lot of problems with the comic industry, but you know what, John, like, this discussion that you and I are having right now,
yes,
when is the last time you heard a discussion like this in the comic book press publicly? Because I hear it at conventions all the time.
I hear it at conventions. I hear it on other podcasts amongst the podcasters themselves.
Yeah.
Well, what industry, though, would give that kind of moment where competitors are going to come in and say, let's take a look at the state of the industry. We need to do something about it. I mean, do you see any similarities in some of these other competing media companies?
They're saying,
I mean,
like, what media or
what industry has gotten to
a point where they've rallied and circled the troops and circled the wagons and rallied the troops, and I don't know, maybe it's never happened.
Okay.
You know? But that doesn't mean it can't.
Have you included the other Image guys again on this idea as well of, hey, we got to talk to the guys across the street and we should all get together? I like the cruise, by the way.
I just really want to go on a cruise, I'll be honest with you. You know?
Yeah,
it's not have to be there, so be it. But,
Now, you said nice things about Joe in the piece. So
no, Joe is a super smart guy. I can't ever, like, you know, like, whatever. Like, I'm not at Marvel anymore, but Marvel does really awesome shit. And they, can I cuss? I don't even know.
You can cuss. It's cool.
But, like, Joe turned that company around.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't not give Joe the credit. You know?
I hear you. I completely agree.
And you know, I mean,
I think there are a lot of good, honestly, I'm not being a kiss ass around the industry right now. I think there are a lot of very smart, creative people at every company right now.
Yeah. And
I truly do. And
I'm saying, so there are, so, you know, let's have a talk. That's, you know, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time when there are enough super smart people at companies that there can be talks that are done. And you know what? If that talk is just between Marvel and DC, so be it. You know, I don't care. As long as there's something being done to excite people, because people need to be excited about comics, and, you know, bringing in new people, because we desperately need new people. I just got back from San Diego, and the only kids I saw that came up to get any autographs from me, and now I know I do older books, you know, like I've done Marvel Zombies, I've done Walking Dead, but the only kids I saw getting autographs were with their parents, and their parents were there to get autographs, and so their kids were obviously brought there. And I know that there's not a lot of, like, 13-year-olds that are going to be going to San Diego by themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I didn't see the 13-year-old kid that has the dad that's completely uninterested that came just to bring him. You know.
Yeah.
And I was that kid when I would go to conventions. You know.
Well, San Diego has become its own crazy animal.
Exactly. But, I mean, I'm just using Comic-Con as an example because I just got back from there.
I can understand that.
I cannot remember the last time.
How was Chicago? Now, that was just a month ago.
Chicago was fantastic. I mean, I was just zipping around and, you know.
Well, that's true. You were there hanging out, but you weren't at a booth proper, so I guess.
Look, my experience, I cannot remember. I know that there is one guy, and I wish I could remember his name. I saw him in Baltimore, and I wish I could remember his name. There was one guy that was like 14, and I knew he was there. And I knew he was there for comics, and he wasn't there because his dad liked comics. Well, no, because he posted on my board. I think his name was Mike or something.
Okay.
And I saw him a few times in Baltimore because I did Baltimore 2 years in a row.
Sure.
And, like, that's sad. Like, I remember the last, like, 14-year-old that came up to me that just wanted to get comics, because that's the only one.
Okay.
And, like, you know, maybe it's just my experience, But I don't, I've signed at the Marvel booth, and I've been one of, like, 8 guys sitting at that table. And so, you know, I know that signing experiences are fairly similar, and I just don't see the kids. And I go into comic shops, and I do not see the kids. And I know that I've talked to store owners that say they do not see the kids, you know?
There's
1,000 different ways to fix it, but I'm just suggesting one.
Okay, but is there an image solution to this problem as far as getting kids?
I don't think Image has the resources that Marvel and DC do as far as expanding the audience to children. It may eventually, but it's not there right now. And I think that Image's niche is mature superhero books that you cannot that can do things that you cannot really get from Marvel and DC, and things like The Walking Dead and The Sword, and, you know, like Image's thing is, you know, I know everyone likes to say that the HBO comics, but it's just like it's like a television station, you know, and we do skewer mature with most of our stuff. And so, no, I don't think Image is the solution. You know, Image is a fine company, and they do a lot of things really well, and I'm happy to be there. But I don't think Image is the company that's going to be bringing the kids into comics this year or for the next 5 years. But, I mean, eventually that may change.
But that original group was at the age that you were, you know, aiming at as far as the teenagers.
I was 14.
Yeah, and it hit you right. So, you know, it was appropriate enough for you back then.
Yeah, but, I mean, Image is a small company, you know. Image just doesn't have the resources to be, like, making aggressive marketing plans and you know. Also, the icons, the kids. I mean, I jumped from Marvel to read Image Comics, but, like, I don't know if I would have started reading comics just because of Image Comics. You know, lunchboxes and T-shirts and underoos and slippers. That's what brings kids to comics. Television shows, you know, that's what the kids need. And maybe the Invincible MTV thing. I mean, that's what the whole reason I did that. And fine, you know, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I don't know if that's going to work. But, you know, it's things like that that bring kids to comics.
Can't hurt. I mean,
definitely can't hurt. And if I get one 16-year-old because of that MTV thing, it will have done its job.
Well,
it will have been 100% worth it if I just get one 16-year-old to read Invincible that didn't read it before.
Well, I was a 20-something when HBO was doing the Spawn cartoon, and I'm sure there were kids, you know, sneaking around and watching Todd's cartoon.
They had to be staying up pretty late for that one.
That's a good point. But, yeah. Well, it was Friday nights, though, man. I don't know.
That's true. No, a lot of people have bad parents, so I'm sure they were pretty late. They were probably sitting there with their parents' crack pipe watching Spawn.
Nice. Nice. When does while we mention the Invincible cartoon, when does that start?
It's already started. The first six
first six
episodes are on iTunes now, and you can watch the first six episodes at MTV.com somewhere.
Okay, and I know you've got your stuff up at Spike as well with Battle Pope.
I'm all over the net.
Yeah,
and Battle Pope's doing really well at Spike. So I mean, Spike's excited. I haven't heard if we're going to be doing more or not, but you know, I'm game. So. So we shall see.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm going to be bringing any kids into comics with Battle Pope. I just don't.
I understand.
I tell
that.
You what, though, the kids that are brought into comics by Battle Pope are totally awesome guys.
No,
you
I
know, if you're a 14-year-old and you're reading Battle Pope, like, right on. that is a guy I want to hang out with. That guy's probably going to grow up to be totally awesome.
I just want to clarify again, because I understand what you're saying as far as inviting creators to think more about doing creator-owned stuff. But I also, you know, can't deny that I don't want to lose the talented people that we have in the mainstream right now doing great mainstream stories. I mean, and
Sorry. No, I'm not even joking. I'm not joking. Comics are not for you. You're an old bastard. Like, Frank Miller could have done Batman his whole career, but do you like Sin City?
I love Sin City.
Okay. So everybody that's doing the Marvel and DC books that you love could have something awesome in them, and they may not. And you know what? If they go and they do something awesome that doesn't catch on, like, there's nothing saying that if they're still awesome, they can't go back to Marvel and DC. I'm not saying burn a bridge, you know, and I'm sure Marvel and DC would hire them back. But you know what? Like, come on, man.
But I love what Geoff Johns is doing in with Superman right now.
Sure.
Grant Morrison, All-Star Superman, wonderful book.
Awesome.
Frank is back doing All-Star Batman. What about the guys like the Kevin Smiths and the Mark Guggenheims?
There's room for everything.
You know, but I'm saying like the film and TV people that are coming in, and they want to kind of, you know, there is something to be said, as you yourself admitted, to getting your jollies off, getting the opportunity to writing Superman and Batman for a while your name is hot.
Absolutely, and do that. But you know what? Don't just do that, and don't aspire to only ever do that. Is all I'm saying. And if you do, that's fine. Everything is fine. But if more people left to do creator-owned stuff because they wanted to, and I talk to people at conventions, I know that a lot of people want to, and they just don't know if they can. Okay? If they did, I think that everything would be better off. There would be a gap to be filled. Marvel and DC would have to, like, find a different audience. If the older audience, like you and me, followed the creators, they would have to find an audience that the creators weren't so important to. Okay?
Sure.
That's kids. That forces them to market to kids. And that's important. And I think that could be revolutionary. Okay? That's all I'm saying. And, you know, like, if they start marketing to kids more, and kids aren't that, you know, big on creators, like they're just reading the characters, and if the stuff is good, like, then they're not, you know, Marvel's making more money because they're not paying guys as much because they're newer guys that are coming in. And I just think that the cycle should be changed. It shouldn't be slave away on creator-owned stuff, not making a dime until you get noticed, because that's what people are doing now. And then when they get noticed, they go off and they do corporate comics and they make their money, and maybe they straddle both sides of the fence like I've done until now, and they make their money and they're creatively fulfilled, but they just keep doing it. They keep doing it. And you know, like, I'm just saying, like, once you get to the top or the middle, you know, if you do want to do creator-owned stuff, do it.
All right.
I'm not ordering people to do stuff.
Oh, I understand.
I'm just suggesting, and I'm saying that it can be done.
And I can appreciate that from a creator standpoint.
I mean, I'm trying to do this in the friendliest way possible.
Of course you are.
I'm not out to get Marvel and DC, you know? I'm not out to do that. They're always going to be number one and number two, and that is totally fine. They've got the icons. I love the icons. I love those books.
But why limit them with the icons to, again, entertain a specific audience? Where, you know, I mean, movie studios can do whatever. I mean, you know, Disney finally got into the adult film business. I mean, that, you know, with quotes. But you know what I'm saying, with Touchstone Films. And having
adult business with Touchstone Films?
Well, but you know what I'm saying, as opposed to just sticking with Goofy and Mickey and Donald Duck.
Sure. I was just making a joke about the word touch being in something after you said adult films.
But, I'm sorry, Beavis, I didn't catch that. But thank you.
Whoa, hey. Wow, see, I liked how you were playing devil's advocate the whole time, but I didn't know this was going to get downright hostile.
Oh, it's not hostile at all. No, honestly, we're just having...
I will tackle you. I will drive to Chicago right now, and I will take you out. We will have a big head fight.
Kirkman, you got 15 years on me. I have no doubt that you could put me down flat very quickly.
Guy with the biggest head wins. And that guy is me.
No, and honestly, this is a friendly discussion. There's no hostility on either side. And I also... I can read between the lines, and I know you are sending out a call to action to creators.
Sure.
Primarily. You are also, though, suggesting that these two companies that are at the top kind of pull back their sandbox and only play with younger kids and let these other companies have the big boys. I don't understand why they can't provide a service for everyone, and the smaller companies, like boutique movie studios, can do what they do best. Image can do what it does best. Dark Horse can do what it does best. Same with Boom. Oni Press does, you know, wonderful, interesting creator-owned books. There's always room on my bookshelf for both. I will read, as you said, you will always read Spider-Man because you're a fan or you're an X-Men fan. I like this era of being challenged by better writers. There was always A. Frank Miller, one Alan Moore, people like that. There seem to be more of those creative minds in comics than ever. And I'm really pleased to see that. And I want them to take advantage and get better known and do their own creator thing. But I also want them to continue to, if they've got a new spin on Superman, that's great.
Again, you're not the audience that I'm after.
Okay.
You're not the audience that I'm talking about. And, like, I don't mean to be so, you know, that sounded a little harsher than I expected it to, but you whatever. I agree with you. I agree with you, you know, I don't know, 100%, whatever.
Plus,
know,
we can
still,
afford the product,
still,
too, man.
There's still room for those guys to do stuff. I mean,
sure.
If All-Star Superman existed, like, you know, and it does, but I mean, if there was All-Star Superman, and that's awesome, like one of the best books being published right now,
mm-hmm.
but then that's you know, that's another continuity. That's not, you know, that's a different thing. But like if the main superhero books, if the main Superman books at the same time were skewed younger, you know, and weren't, so, I mean, they're a bit graphically violent, you know, that's all I'm talking about. Like there's, you know, if a guy just wants to do, and you know, who... I'm not lying. Like I could be doing Spider-Man in 10 years, you know?
Sure.
I could go back and do Spider-Man for a little bit. But the point is, Spider-Man's not the top for me. And I don't feel like Spider-Man should be the top for everybody. You know, doing that Pulp Fiction sequel and doing a James Bond movie is, like, not the top for everyone.
I hear
you. A lot of creative people should create. And if you don't aspire to create, that's fine. But if you aspire to create, just recognize that Spider-Man is not the top and that your creation is waiting for you, and you should give it a shot.
Okay. Now, I will admit, this is a crass devil's advocate question, but I'm going to throw it out there.
That's what,
here's the wind-up. It could be said...
Don't ramble, because I lose track of the question sometimes.
Well, I have this written so that I know what I'm saying. It could be argued that this is really nothing more than a savvy call on your part for creators to come and bring more work to Image. Because, after all, Image is, like, the only one that has an open submission policy and a fully creator-owned relationship with the work.
Fully creator-owned, and you keep 100% of your movie rights. But go ahead and finish your question.
That is the finish of my question. Honestly, that this is... Right now, the focus is on you being an Image partner. I think everyone that reads and follows the comic book industry will say that you are one of these guys that literally grew up on Image and found the right formula of being very successful making Image books. The partners clearly recognize that. They want to bring you in this respect. So, yeah, I mean, this is like a good opportunity for you to kind of just throw out a little public statement saying, come on in, the water's fine.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
There you go.
That's exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, the come on in, the water's fine. But, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not the publisher. I'm not just a guy that's saying, come to Image. At the same time, I'm also a creator who has done creator-owned stuff since the first day that his first book was published.
Yep.
And I'm a creator that's been at Marvel for the last 4 years, and I'm a creator that's taken the plunge. Okay? And so... It's not like I'm just, you know, some corporate guy that's saying, come to Image. I'm saying...
You're a foot soldier.
I'm happier.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happier, and it may work for you, too. If you want to do creator-owned stuff, and your name has gotten to a certain level where it can sell books, it can be done. And, you know, if that's what you want to do, it should be done. Because there are so many artists and writers that are just sitting around going... Yeah, you know, I really, really wish I was doing my own thing. I really wish I didn't have to get approval. And that's who I'm talking to. And if they want to go to Dark Horse, they can go to Dark Horse. I don't care. I mean, I honestly, I don't care. I mean, if they can get a better deal, that's fine. And if they can't, you know, that's fine. But, like... You know, I'm not going to say I just want everyone to be happy, but I really do. I hate sitting here at conventions, hanging out at the bar, and people come up to me and they're like, "Man, you know, I just wish I was doing what you're doing. I don't know how you made that work." And it's like, well, you know, it's not that hard. It can be done. And you know, like my contact information is public. If you want to ask me some questions and see if I'm completely full of crap, you know, give me a call. But you know, right. That part of it, yeah, I mean, sure, it might seem a little self-serving, but at the end of the day, I know that there are people that are out there that are unhappy, and we're here for them. And I know that there are people that are out there that are not unhappy, and, you know, they're fine. That's fine. If you're happy doing what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Very cool.
And that's exactly what the thing was. It's a call to arms. Come to create our own stuff. And then the second part of that is, yeah, Marvel and DC. Like, aren't I a dick? You know? Like, did I just say that? Like, whoa, holy shit, guys. I'm sorry. But guess what? Here's what I think. If this does cause a mass exodus, which, you know what, it's probably not, let's be honest.
Yeah.
If it does cause a mass exodus, here is how you can use that mass exodus to your advantage. And so, don't assassinate me.
Are you...
I would not be out here doing what I'm doing if I was not completely content to never do another Marvel and DC book. And I know that if I keep writing good comics and I like my books. They're okay.
I like
your books too. If I keep doing good books that people like, you know, I'm not out there saying crazy stuff. I'm not out there attacking anyone, you know. As long as I'm not being psychotic and I'm doing good stuff, you know. If I can sell a book, they're going to let me sell a book for them.
Sure.
And so at the end of the day, like... whatever. I'm trying not to burn a bridge. I have friends at Marvel and DC. I have friends doing books there, and I have friends that are editors at both companies. You know, I've been talking to Dan DiDio. I know Joe Quesada. I mean, you know, they're not doing a bad job. I'm not trying to say bad things about their companies. So you know, I'm playing nice.
That's cool. And you still have product to come from both companies as well.
And let me say, like. You know, the stuff that's coming from Marvel. Yeah, am I interrupting like every question you try to ask?
I think we're at a good point right now.
I'm doing this Destroyer Max series with Corey Walker. It's one of the best things I've ever written. Image, Marvel, wherever. I love it. I had a blast finishing those scripts. It's the first time I've ever gotten to work with Axel Alonso, and Axel Alonso is one of the best editors in the industry. And I am 100% committed to that book. And, you know, it's a Marvel book. But you know what? I like Marvel, you know, I'm not there anymore, but, you know, like, buy that book, and I gave that book my all, and when that thing comes out, I think people are really, really going to dig it, and Corey Walker is killing on that title, and that, I mean, seriously, like, that's going to be a cool book, and when that book comes out, like, if they'll let me, like, do interviews, and I'm sure I can do interviews on my own without them knowing, like, I'm totally going to participate in the promotion of that book, like, I'm not looking at this like, oh, you know, screw these guys. You know, I still have stuff at Marvel that's coming out. My Killraven series is going
to
rock.
Looking forward to it.
I mean, Rob Liefeld is kicking ass on that thing. I'm trying to say word for word exactly what I said about Corey, but I'm not doing it. But that book is going to be really cool. I mean, you know, it's a cool concept that Rob came up with. It's the artifacts of the Marvel Universe in the future. And, you know, it's a bunch of guys forming the future Avengers to take down the Martians that have enslaved the human race. And like it's really cool, and it's new ideas at Marvel. Like both of those are like new ideas at Marvel.
Yes.
Because Destroyer is like a rebirth of the 40s character, and Killraven is a completely new take on Killraven. And you know, they're almost like creator own books, but you know, they're not, and that's cool. You know, I went into it with my eyes open, and I had a blast, and I don't regret a second of it. You know, I created more villains in Destroyer in the 6 issues than I did in the first, like, 12 or 24 issues of Invincible, and I created them for Marvel, you know? And
gotcha.
That's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Like, whatever. Like, I didn't hate my time there, you know?
Good. Okay.
It's just that no one is doing what I'm doing right now, you know? No one is saying, you know, publicly, like, nope, not going to do any of that stuff, going to do my stuff. Because, look, and I'm rambling, and this is going to be long, but...
It's not long.
I went to Marvel, I thought I was on the Bendis plan. I had done creator-owned stuff. The creator-owned stuff had gotten popular. Like, Bendis's creator-owned stuff had gotten popular,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know? Like, he was doing, like... Powers and Sam and Twitch and that kind of stuff, and
yes.
I was doing Invincible and Super Patriot and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I was looking at how parallel our careers were. Now I did it a little faster than him. That's a little nudge. but you know, I got into Marvel, and I got into Marvel on Captain America. I did 4 issues of Captain America. He started on a little stint on Daredevil, you know, and then like he went off and did Elektra and some other like low selling crappy Marvel titles.
Wait a minute, I think you've successfully blocked out Ultimate Spider-Man though, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. But
Right there, is five pages of message boards. Oh, I can't believe Kirkman would do that.
Oh, come on. But no, I mean, like, and then, you know, like, I had Marvel team up and different stuff like that.
Yes.
I didn't have an Ultimate Spider-Man, and so I was very, very quickly aware that I was not on the Bendis plan, okay?
Okay.
But, like, I went to Marvel, like, okay, like, if I just try and do the same kind of projects and I try and control my career like Bendis did, you know, Bendis is a great guy and I still consider him to be a friend. I hope that we're cool. I hope that, you know, me talking out like this isn't going to make him angry, because I could take him. I mean, I really could. I could probably just walk up and kick him like a football. I mean, let's just, like his whole body would just soar off into the distance. Okay, so as I'm, you know, at Marvel, I start to realize, like, Bendis ain't going anywhere. Okay, I'm not on the Bendis plan. There is no Bendis plan. Bendis is Bendis, and I'm Robert Kirkman. You know, because I started out pretty young. You know, there is no Bendis plan. There's this, the guy is not going anywhere. There's no way that I'm going to eventually get to the level that he's at unless I wait around for, what, 30 damn years? You know? Like, come on. And so I'm like, okay, so that's a misconception. Like, I'm totally not there. You know, that's not something that's in my future. And then I start to realize, like, the books that I want to do at Marvel do not exist. They just don't exist anymore.
In what way?
I want to have the run on Hulk that Peter David had, and I want to have the run on Thor that Walt Simonson had, and they just don't exist. I want to have the David Michelinie Spider-Man thing. Like, I want to do an Amazing Spider-Man book that's Amazing Spider-Man, but I don't want to play with anybody else. I don't want to work with anybody else. I don't want to have to, you know, lead into the crossover and play with the crossover,
okay,
and work with the lead in with the side books and tie in with the side books and have the crossover with the side books. And you know what, like, if I was writing Amazing Spider-Man and they were like, okay, well, you're going to go write Web of Spider-Man this month because you're part of the crossover, and then someone else is going to write this issue, I'd be like, what the hell? You're breaking up my run.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And there is no way that anyone is going to have the cachet or whatever to have the power to just be like, no, I'm writing Amazing Spider-Man. Like Straczynski, you know, like Straczynski still had to participate in crossovers and whatnot, and it helped the book. It made it sell better.
But
you
I'm
never going to be as popular as Straczynski, and so the Amazing Spider-Man book that I've wanted to write since I got into comics is called Ultimate Spider-Man. But other than that, it doesn't exist. Okay? You know, like, you can't really be on your own out there saying, this is Spider-Man, this is my mark on Spider-Man, this era of Spider-Man is all me. And that's what I wanted to do. You know?
Well, and I guess you're right. Now, there are a couple other creators beyond Bendis that do get to say no. Two things, because I do want to understand.
No, there's not. And even what about, Bendis, to a certain extent,
what about Brubaker? But what about Brubaker in Captain America? Now, he hasn't had to participate in World War Hulk or Secret Invasion with Captain America in his book. He hasn't had his run interrupted.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good example. I mean, you know. Whatever, he still had to participate in House of M.
I guess one issue. And that's true.
You know, I mean,
and
I
maybe
guess,
because of that, he
I think
kind
it's
of
the power of the death of Captain America that's making that example. I
okay,
mean,
yeah,
they
a
don't
sto-
want to
a story.
The death of Captain America arc that they can sell those big omnibus of or whatever.
No, I think you're right. Well, that specific run has been given license to do its own thing, and I think you're right. I think, unlike the eras that you just talked about, I think there is a general editorial feeling of, no, let's, you know.
Well, that's what sells comics right now, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so instead of sitting around and pouting about it, I left.
I understand.
You know.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm just talking about me at this point.
Right? Sure.
You know.
Oh, no.
It's like once I realized that the Spider-Man book that I wanted to do would probably never be something that I could do. It was like, okay, well, what's next? And I started to realize, like, you know, I can go be Robert Kirkman. You know, I can be the guy that's out there going, you know, create our own stuff, rah, rah, rah. And, you know, and so here we are.
Well, I know other creators that have said the same thing about that they had a very specific run in mind and events. And this isn't even a Marvel situation. I know DC guys that have been faced with the same problem.
Yeah. And again, I don't say that as a criticism of Marvel and DC. That's what sells comics, and that's what their job is. That's fine. You know, I'm not saying Marvel sucks now because there will never be another run of Hulk like Peter David. You know?
Sure.
I mean, if the books are selling, the books are selling. And the books aren't selling as much as Peter David's Hulk run sold, I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, they're doing what they need to do to sell comics. And that's, you know, that's fine for that situation. But later, you know, if they have that mass exodus, I think they should rethink things.
No, I understand. I also think that there was a generation of creators, and maybe before you were reading, but I can think of a lot of guys from the 80s that were very big that aren't around anymore because they kind of priced themselves out of the mainstream, and this was the pre-Image era. Or now they've also tried to do some creator stuff. I can think of a few guys, and I won't name anybody specifically, but I've seen them at conventions, and I've had them on the show and done interviews with them and have read interviews where they were the it guy for Hero B, and they're not with Hero B anymore because they kind of priced themselves out of working for the big two. They've tried to create their own stuff, and again, for whatever reasons, they're not able to make that profit that you have specifically been able to make.
Well, you're going to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, if you do Batman up until the height of your popularity, and then when Batman stops selling because you're on it, you know, and then you're like, oh, well, I can't sell Batman anymore. I guess I'm going to go do my creator-owned stuff. Like, if you can't sell Batman, you're not going to be able to sell your creator-owned stuff. You need to do a nice, kick-ass six-issue run of Batman, and when people are like, oh, my God, that was the best Batman run I've ever read. He is the best Batman creator ever. I wish that he was going to do Batman for the rest of his life. That is awesome. You go, hey, guys, fuck you. No more Batman. Now you got to go. Now, since you love my... No, seriously.
I hear
now,
you.
Now
I hear
because
you
love my Batman so much and because you love me so much because I did this awesome, awesome Batman, now I'm going to go to this other guy. And this other guy's not Batman, but he's totally friggin' awesome, and you're going to have to read his book because you're not going to get me on Batman anymore. Now you have to get me on this guy. And if only... And this is something that creators need to realize. If you're selling 150,000 copies of Batman, I know what people's rates are, you know, to
right.
a certain extent. Like, I know the range where
sure.
people work.
Sure.
You have to sell 30,000 copies of your creator-owned book to sell, to make about as much as they're paying you to do Batman.
Well, how many guys are doing their creator-owned book that are able to match that money?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, and how many guys like yourself are, you know, doing, like you said, for instance, Walking Dead, 25,000.
Sure.
And you're making a decent, you know, amount
of
money.
I wasn't doing Batman that was selling 150,000 copies.
Well, there you go.
You know, and the guy that's doing Batman that's selling 150,000 copies isn't going to do creator-owned stuff. I mean, he's not doing it right now. So there's no example. But, you know, Mark Miller, pretty damn hot.
Sure.
Kick-ass,
yes.
60,000 copies.
Yeah.
You know, and War Heroes is doing something like 30-something. Or 40-something. And so it's, you know, like,
but
there's
Mark,
an example. And then, you know what, Vertigo books count. Brian K. Vaughan
oh, sure
selling
do.
Like 30,000 copies of his Why the Last Man book. And trades. You know, Walking Dead sells 25,000, okay?
Yep.
But, you know, we've sold over 100,000 copies of almost every volume of that trade paperback.
That's great, man. Good for you.
I mean, I'm not saying that so that you can congratulate
no,
me.
No, but I've congratulated. You know, I am honestly.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. No, I mean, don't get me wrong.
I know what you mean.
I appreciate it. I will punch your big, giant head. I will.
No, but I hear what you're saying, man.
I don't like, you know, I'm not beating my chest here. I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
It can be done.
Maybe Walking Dead would sell more if we sold less trades. And, you know.
No, but you're saying it can
be done.
I don't
care because I make money off both.
Sure.
And so I'm making a good living, and when I say I'm making money, like, I'm not saying, oh, I'm making money, I got in this for the money. I got in this to write comics, and if I'm making a living writing comics, I'm happy because I get to keep writing comics, you know?
Absolutely.
If I was just in this for the money, I would quit.
No, I understand,
you know?
Robert. No, I totally, honestly, man,
well,
I'm just
saying
hear
that because I don't want people to be listening to this and going, this guy's all about the cash, he's been talking about money.
No, but you're you know, you got to make a living. You got to, as an adult, you have to pay
exactly.
the bills. And why not do it? Exactly. And why not do it doing something you love?
Sure.
So I completely understand. Dude, this is why I do Word Balloon. It's the same reason. I have to keep my day job in radio, though.
I thought it was because you like the sound of your voice. And to be honest, I understand why you like the sound of your voice, because you have a really good voice. I wish I had the voice you had. I really do.
I really do.
And I should point out that I'm getting a little hoarse now, and it's because I'm still, like, you know, suffering from San Diego all this time after. So.
No, I understand, man. It is the post-con hangover, and I can appreciate that.
It makes me sound cool because sometimes I have a pretty deep voice, you know. Like, whoa, look at that. Like, I wish I talked like that all the time. My wife would totally respect me.
No, man, I do. I understand where you're coming from. And that's one of the reasons why the video itself intrigued me, and also just your post-con statements.
I'm glad we did this follow-up, are doing this follow-up. I don't know if we're wrapping up here or not. But I'm not saying I have all the answers. And, you know, I only said that, like, I left Marvel Comics to save the entire comic book industry. Because I only said that because I knew that what I was saying was going to be fairly long and it wasn't scripted, and so it was going to be kind of rambly. And so I was like, if I start with something like that, people are going to be like, oh,
do tell.
This guy is crazy. I have got to listen to every word. And so, you know, I'm not sitting here saying I have all the answers. I'm just sitting here saying I see problems and everyone else sees problems and everyone else seems to be waiting for someone to fix them. And we have so many smart people in this industry that we can do things that will make us happier. We can all do exactly what we want to do. We can sell comics. And if we work together and we communicate, and we brainstorm together about all kinds of different things, and we pool our resources, and blah, 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 we can make things better. And we should be talking about that.
That's good.
There's nothing stopping us from trying.
Well, I like that. And it is one man's opinion, one creator's opinion.
And if that drives people to Image Comics, hey, sounds great. But, you know, that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is, you know, making sure that my grandkids can read comic books on their projection screen coming off their fingernail.
It's not going to be beamed directly into our brains?
Or beamed directly into our brains.
Okay.
What are you having today? Oh, Spider-Man.
Let me check in.
Look at my eye twitching. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, you know, we're all getting old, man. We're all getting old. And
said the 30-year-old. I love that, man.
Oh, stop it.
I understand where you are at 29 because I think everybody feels this way, and it's where am I? Where am I in the world? And I see no.
Midlife crisis.
No, it's not a midlife crisis at all. No, this is a time of passage. This is what happens where you kind of step around and go, all right,
don't dismiss me because I'm turning 30.
And I'm not. No, and I'm not dismissing you.
That big head already deserves a punch. And I tell you, buddy, I tell you,
I'm not dismissing you at all. Absolutely not. No, hey man, you're in a very unique position right now, and I can appreciate the success you're feeling, and also that hey, you just came out of, you know, an experience of working at the big two, and you're just giving your view. That's cool. You know, and I was just going to say, I think it's interesting, and it's opening a dialogue that, as you say, is spoken at conventions, but isn't really talked about by professionals. And I, you know, Miller kind of, I remember at the Harvey Awards about 10 years ago, kind of had his own little, like, wait a minute, are we going in the right direction? Are we doing the right thing? And it's fair for a creator to make that point. And I think that's... You know, that's the hope for this show. I want to give creators the opportunity to go beyond just, you know, plugging their products and really talk about comics and where the business is going. So this has been great. And I mean,
it has been great, hasn't it?
Well, no, honestly, I'm happy to continue the conversation if you want. But
no, I appreciate the opportunity to explain myself a little further and discuss the matter a bit more, and you know, talk about how gigantic our heads are. and you know, joke about kicking Bendis like a football.
Well, and rather than closed doors for your career, I hope this does open dialogue where the companies do have an opportunity to talk and say, where are things? Because 2008 is a watershed year for the business, and it's going to be interesting to see where the business goes next. And I say this as a veteran of the radio business that is in a different direction. And these types of questions and discussion should be going on. So I thank you for using my platform to voicing your views, and I welcome you to come back and we can talk more about this and also just have a silly conversation as well. But I'm happy to extend the invitation as well to other creators who want to just talk about this in general, of where comic books are right now, where they're going, and
yeah, definitely. You know, if you're out there and you're totally pissed off and you want to like rip me a new one, I am ready. I totally want to hear that.
Well,
call
you know,
John.
No.
No. No, I'm serious.
Well, I know you like to put your email on a lot of these articles that have come out of late and said, hey,
oh, not this
on
one.
Okay. Take no calls.
No, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm
no, I know.
Phone number on here, too. No, I mean, it's Kirkman@Funkotron.com.
There you go.
You know, and it's on my website, and I, you know, whatever. I'm there, so that's cool.
Well, that's cool, Robert. I hope that people understand where you're coming from, that they will take the time to listen to this. You're a hell of a writer, and it's always a pleasure reading your stories, and I look forward to continuing. And not only the stuff that is coming from Image, like The Astonishing Wolfman and Invincible and The Walking Dead.
The Astounding Wolfman.
Damn it.
So bad.
So close. Well, I knew it was an adjective of some sort.
Yeah, no, it was definitely an adjective of some sort. But no, I mean,
the neatly groomed Wolfman. But no, honestly, I really am looking forward to the Marvel stuff as well. And I know you put your heart into it. And I know that you, while have parted ways with Marvel, mean no ill will by this discussion.
No, absolutely. I still buy as many Marvel books now as I ever did. And let me tell you what, that's a lot. I buy a lot of comics. And I buy a shit ton of Marvel and DC books. And you know, they appeal to me because they're written for me, and I'm not going to restart my discussion. But appreciate you having me, and I hope that next time I'm on, I'll try to be funnier. I promise.
And that's our conversation with Robert Kirkman. That'll wrap things up for this edition of Word Balloon. Thanks a lot for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, you can find Word Balloon all over the internet. Of course, we're at iTunes, at Newsarama.com, at our own website www.wordballoon.com. But also you can find us at myspace.com/wordballoon and Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, all the various podcatching sites. If you ever have any questions or comments on the show, feel free to email me, john@wordballoon.com. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2008.